Yo, what is up? You have found We Like the Blazers. You like that one? We Like the Blazers. I am Brandon Goldner, and over there with the red microphone and the red Blazers sign, and he's always ready to talk Blazers, it is the man, the myth, the legend, Ryan Whitledge. Ryan, what's up, man?
Not much, Goldner. Hey, look at us. I didn't kick this can down the road. You didn't have to go ask your wife to emergency co-host, which great job to her, by the way. I told my wife that she did that, and mine looked at me and said, under no circumstance. If you don't, if he's out, I ain't doing it. She's like, I talked to you enough. I don't need to, and you vent to me about sports enough. I don't need to talk to you for an hour about that. So kudos to her for stepping in on that.
Cassie's great, and I appreciate that she did it. I asked her after the fact, I'm like, do you enjoy doing that? Do you want to do more podcasting? And she's like, no, which is too bad, because like, she has a really interesting perspective, especially as she's going to be doing sleep medicine, and she's really interested in athletics. And I think that there's a lot that we don't know about sleep, and I think at some point, anyway, I'll keep
next
working
year
on
when
it.
Next year is when the Blazers schedule comes out, and we have to do and they're traveling this many miles, and here's the road trip. We'll bring her on to break down the proper sleep habits that they should have on these extended road trips.
Well, I'm curious. I don't know enough about her fellowship. I do think part of her focus will be, though, sleep and athletic performance at some point, so I'll be really curious to see what comes of that. Anyway, shout out to Cassie if you didn't catch that episode. She did great. It was super fun.
Today is a very important anniversary, and I'm curious if you happen to know what that anniversary is. Top of your head. Think about everything that it could possibly be. It does involve basketball. I can't say that. It does involve me.
It involves you and basketball. It is, I don't know.
Today is the 8-year anniversary of when I got the Toyota half court shot and also attended my first playoff game.
Woo! We're all still so disappointed that you didn't hit that shot. Cool.
I watched the video back of that, and I'm like, in my head, in the moment, I was a lot closer than I was. And every year that pops up on the Facebook memories, I'm like, now granted, my wife doesn't have the best camera angle, but I'm like, ooh,
I haven't seen this. You have to share it with me.
I will. But I maintain that entire process is so misleading and such a farce. Like, if anybody actually hits that, like in Moda and walks away with the car, I'll be amazed. The insurance loopholes are just insane. Like,
wait, what do you mean?
So to walk you through the process. So I signed up for the Toyota half court shot, you know, sometime on the Blazers website in the season. I get a random call from just some unknown number down in Portland. I answer, happens to be their ticket office. They're like, hey, we'll give you two club level seats to the Blazers Clippers game if you want them. And I was just like, yeah, sure. And they're like, only caveat is you have to do the half court shot. And I was like, holy crap, like that's going to be effing packed arena. I have to do it in front of there. So when we get there, we pick up the tickets. They hand me the little Toyota, you know, jersey, but you do not get to keep that. There is one jersey. They have one jersey, they hand it to you, and then at the end, like, they give it to you, like, right when you get there and you get the ticket. So, like, I'm wearing it most of the game, like, it's got my stank on it and everything. I was walked off the floor, hey, we need that back. And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, no, that's, we need that for the next guy you shoot. Oh, like, we're pulling the cheap thing. Toyota could have only sprung for one jersey. Okay, then. but when they're going through all the, like, all like the paperwork and everything that you have to sign for like the insurance stuff beforehand, you have to sign that you have not practiced taking a half court shot on any sort of regulation court. And then it literally like has this picture or drawing of like, if any parts of your body crosses these spots, it invalidates it. So like if you ever see anybody do the half court shot and at the release, their arm is outstretched and any part of their hand, fingertips or whatever is over the half court line, invalid, does not count. So you cannot even jump at half court and extend out that way. Your release, when you stretch out your arms have to be behind the half court line. Otherwise, it does not count.
I don't understand why they don't just pull the line back a bit then, just because that, I mean, that feels bad faith, like loophole-y at that point, which of course it is, because they don't want to give you a car. They don't want to. I'm surprised they don't give you a jersey. I think that's some BS. Not practicing, excuse me, like how long ago can, like, I used to sneak into Gill Coliseum in Corvallis and practice half court shots. Does that count? I don't know. Anyways.
Actually, yes. Yes, you would have to. It was like you would have to stipulate that. Well, I think at the time. So this was 8 years ago.
You have to disclose. So
I would have been 30. So, and it, I think it had said within like the last 10 years or something like that. And you also can't have previously done a half court shot competition in any point in your life. And I was fine. Like, ooh. When I was a kid, I did like the hot spots challenge and I went to state for that. And one of those was a half court shot. Does that count?
I get that they can't give a car to everybody, but maybe just make it good faith, more difficult to do, pull the line back, whatever. Anyways, sorry that you didn't win. I will say very quickly, I did win, Ryan. I won from the Rip City Remix. I entered some kind of a, give us your information and you'll be entered into this thing. A Moses Brown rivalry jersey, which, as you know, for the Remix this year, their rivalry jersey is a mashup of the Oregon State and University of Oregon. It's like, it kind of looks Beavers, kind of looks Ducks. I'm picking it up tomorrow. Ryan, I'm excited. Thank you, Rip City Remix. We appreciate you. Special shout out for them giving us a shout out during their broadcast. Hopefully I'll actually win that. Their offices are at Moda. So I plan to bike to work and then bike to Moda at some point, like take a break, an unpaid break, obviously, and go pick that up. So
No, that's government. That's taxpayer funded. You go do that on the clock, sir.
No, definitely not. Definitely gonna be clocking out for that one. And Ryan, you know who else is clocking out of the 2024 playoffs? The Phoenix Suns. Let's talk about it, but let me quickly, before we do, run through where we are in the playoffs currently. Of course, there are four matchups per conference. You have the Thunder Pelicans. They're playing tonight. Thunder lead 3-0. Clippers Mavs, they played last night. The Clippers tied it up 2-2. Of course, you have the Suns and Timberwolves. Timberwolves swept the Suns. Good job for them. And then you have Lakers Nuggets. Nuggets up 3-1 playing tonight as well. In the Eastern Conference, you have Celtics, Heat, Boston looking for a 3-1 lead. I think they're playing right this very moment.
They Cavaliers, Magic. 23-14.
There we go. Cavs, Magic. Magic came back and won the games 3 and 4 to top that series. I think in like the some historic fashion of margin of victory for those two games in consecutive playoff games. One of the biggest margins of victory for consecutive playoff games in NBA history, which is wild to even think about. Bucks Pacers, I do want to talk about that at some point. Unfortunately, Bucks trailing 3-1 to the Pacers now. And Knicks 76ers, Knicks up 3-1 in that series. Ryan, these series are coming to resolutions. We're going to be into the second round soon enough. I know that you said you were not excited for these playoffs. Has your feeling changed at all watching these games with the drama and the injuries and the ejections and the comebacks and the sweeps? Ryan, are you more interested in these playoffs now?
I'm going to caveat this. I'm just going to shoehorn this in real quick.
Brandon is right.
Brandon's not right. Okay. Here, I'm not going to shoehorn anything in. I, now that they've started and I've attempted to watch quite a few, there's one series that I watched in its entirety, and it's because it involves a team from the land of my home people. And that is the Minnesota Timberwolves. My family hails from Minnesota. That was a horrible Minnesota accent.
That was
accent,
bad, but hey, I'm not from there. I'm from here.
I go back for 2 weeks. It comes back. It's horrible. Anyways, the Lakers cannot. I hate this playoffs rounds more now than before they started from my attempt to watch. I've attempted to watch one or two games of the Lakers Nuggets, and I swear to God, it has to be illegal to not mention LeBron James and his greatness every 35 seconds on the broadcast.
Ryan, I'm watching for the game. I don't know why I just called you Brian.
Broadcast Brian. But do you mute it? Because it's impossible. Like this, I think
it's a little rough. Reggie Miller's a little rough.
Is, like sports media, I feel is like having just an absolute heart attack, not having the Warriors in this, watching the Lakers just, you know, continuously give up big leads. They're not going to have Steph. They're not going to have LeBron. They're going to have to, after shitting on the Celtics and can Tatum and Brown, you know, come together for however many of the previous years, you know, rally behind them in the East. The Knicks are actually a really good and fun team, but because they don't necessarily have like the quote unquote big name stars, somehow they're not having as much steam in the media, but it's a lot of small market teams, which I really do like, and that would increase the enjoyment, but the media coverage of it all is just killing it for me.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe that's true. Certain permutations of the TNT broadcast that, you know, includes
ESPN,
your Reggie Millers,
Fox Sports Radio.
Fine. But then you can also find people like Mike Breen, like Doris Burke, like JJ Redick, like Ian Eagle, like Kevin Calabro, Ryan. He's been announcing some of these games. So you can't paint with such a broad brush. Some of these broadcasting teams are great. Some of them are not great. I do agree with you that like it's enough already. Okay, I get it. Yes, LeBron is there. Great. Let's talk about him a bunch. Like he's about to get gentlemen swept out of the playoffs. But remember, A, you're not watching for the broadcast. B, the playoffs are when the casual fan starts coming on board, right? You have people who are, oh, go ahead.
No, finish this thought because
you made this very Karen-esque exclamation with your hand. I just had to point it out for people who,
Pick up your dog poop, sir.
I have something to say, but like this is for the casual fan to come in, see the NBA product, get re-engaged. And if you're a casual fan, Ryan, hey, if I'm a casual fan, I've heard of LeBron James. I've heard of Kevin Durant. I've heard of Steph Curry, who's not in the playoffs. I've heard of Chris Paul, not in the playoffs. I've heard, right, name the player. And like, that's something that we, as you know, we're not, there are some people who are more tuned into the NBA on an 82 game basis than we are. However, we're pretty tuned in as much as we want to say, oh, we've missed games and blah, blah. We are pretty keyed in. This ain't for us, right? This is for expanding the NBA audience. What say you
and
to that?
Wouldn't you say that part of expanding and growing the NBA audience and building up from casual fan base would be getting in the younger generation who is going to in the future carry this league?
Yes. But that's why you have like Anthony Edwards is being hyped up. He's being compared to Michael Jordan, the dunk that he had over Brad Beal. And when Kevin Durant kind of pivoted out of the way, they've been hyping Anthony Edwards. He's the next generation, right? But you have to do a combination of making people feel like they're, you know, familiar, they're a part of it, and also introducing new players. So like, I guess I'm just not as
part of what I've been trying to do, like, because I've, with me being such a big sports guy, I try to introduce my kids into sports. My daughter, that's a lost cause. Outside of whatever one she's playing, she doesn't care. My son, I got him introduced to basketball a while ago, and CJ McCollum, favorite player, he is interested in the Pelicans. The other night, I want to say it was game two, possibly, of the Nuggets Lakers. And I just tossed that up on the TV while we're eating dinner. And my daughter starts off the conversation with, so who's LeBron James playing? And my son goes, the Nuggets. And she's like, oh. And then my son was like, though you wouldn't know because all they keep doing is talking about LeBron James. And he's like, does his team even have a name? Like these are the casual young kids. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Like this love fascination with just the star of the team and not giving anybody else any sort of breath. Like that broadcast was an absolute disservice to the up and coming generation. When I have basketball on the TV and I have kids that are legit, their eyes are looking up there and they're just so turned off because nothing but those big names are being talked about. That's fair. The time to introduce different aspects of this game instead of just absolutely tripping over yourself to do nothing but talk about LeBron James when in that case, you know, I think Nikola Jokic had like four or five possessions back to back where he was just amazing, but not a mention of him.
Tripping over themselves like Mike Conley tripped over his coach, Chris Finch, who now has a torn patellar tendon. Heyo, prayers up to Chris Finch. He'll be fine. But like, that was mean.
I thought you meant Mike Conley had the torn patellar tendon.
No, the Timberwolves in their sweep of the Lakers. Let's talk about it a little bit. At the end of the game, Mike Conley unfortunately collided with his coach, Chris Finch. And now Coach Finch has a torn patellar tendon. Again, he'll be fine, but bummer for that, right? But like, yeah, I get what you're saying. It is a balance, but you have to make the casual fan not feel totally isolated. Like if all you were doing was doing heavy analytics, really deep cuts, like new players, like people who were not following as closely would feel iced out. They'd feel like they can't follow it. And so, yeah, and LeBron James, look, LeBron James is the most important basketball player of our generation. The guy's 40 years old and still performing at a pretty high level. He's probably going to play at least another year. He's a living legend. You do have to appreciate greatness while it's still there. And also, he's going to be bounced out of the first round, and then you're not going to have to hear about him anymore. He might do another bullshit thing like he did last year.
That's a lie. He pretends
to be retired.
The basketball media market is absolutely then just going to spend, you know, forget whatever probably Timberwolves Nuggets playoff or series is even happening to do nothing but talk about how the Lakers can get LeBron another championship. That's going to be, we're going to get a week and a half.
We're not going to get a week and a half of that. We'll get some of that as the post-mortem of the Lakers season. We will get some of that, but come on, like we have other stuff to focus on, including that second round matchup between the Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets is going to be very interesting. Ryan, I'm curious, like the Timberwolves sweeping the Lakers, being the only team sweeping the Suns. Thank you.
See, even you can't stop talking about the Lakers.
Oh man, I just got LeBron on the brain. Except for perhaps the Thunder may be sweeping the Pelicans. They probably will, might be, but like, do you think then the Rudy Gobert trade, was it all worth it, right? After a year of them kind of like, oh my God, we're paying this guy how much? He comes back, probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. He's able to switch out to the perimeter, and like, despite being very tall, he's actually quite agile on the defending on the perimeter, which is something I said about him when I was defending his honor to people who were like, well, Rudy Gobert. But like, I mean, how are you feeling about the Wolves at this point, Mr. Minnesota, Mr. All Don't
yes,
You Know?
Yes, I do think it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. You know, the naysaying of it, like I was curious, like with Rudy and Karl Anthony Towns, like how is that going to work? Because, you know,
and the answer is Anthony Edwards is fucking awesome. That's the answer, right? Like it's
Yeah. Anthony Edwards is doing a hell of a lot, but having a player of Rudy Gobert's caliber, you know, anchoring a defense while Karl Anthony Towns is just out there doing Karl Anthony Towns things and, you know, seeming like he's finally got his brain all with him while he's playing basketball instead of being kind of scatterbrained or whatnot. You know, it's all clicking for them at the right time. And that does kind of go back to the immediacy that everybody wants when big trades like a Rudy Gobert happens is like, oh, is Minnesota a contender now? And then they're not that year. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that trade was a bust. No, I mean, this kind of goes to prove that it does take a little bit of time to gel, to get there. I'm happy for the Timberwolves. I do know NBA-wise, it is a long-suffering fan base out there. And them matched up against the Nuggets, that may be one where I may have a series that's appointment viewing.
I'm interested. Jamal Murray for the Nuggets has not looked great. Meanwhile, Anthony Edwards is ascending into superstardom, both with his play and with his attitude. I love the post game with him and Karl Anthony Towns, where he was telling Karl Anthony Towns, you just need to stop fucking fouling. Like, we need you on the court. And it was interesting too, the comparison between the energy Anthony Edwards is bringing compared to a Jimmy Butler who like was very happy to berate his teammates for not being as cool as him and not working as hard as him. And then talking to the media about his teammates and like, that's not great leadership, is it? Anthony Edwards is like holding Karl Anthony Towns accountable next to him, but also saying like, yo, we need you out here. But like, you know, I'm interested in that series too. Like the Nuggets, like perfectly built around Nikola Jokic. They have perfect role players, like Aaron Gordon figuring out exactly what he needs to do as an NBA player has been amazing. Michael Porter Jr., for as much as I don't like him as a person, again, knows his role and seems very content with that. But like Jamal Murray not being super healthy, I don't know. Like, I'm still, let's do this really quick. So it's going to be Nuggets Wolves. What do you see in that series? Do you see it going long? Do you see it quick? Like, are you rooting for the upset? Like, what's Ryan thinking about that potential probable second round matchup?
I don't think that's going to be a sweep. That's going to be, I'd say that's probably, you're looking at a 6-game series, and it's going to be, I could see that being a literal back and forth, win one, lose one, you know. And as far as upset, I don't know. It just seems weird when you're splitting hairs on an upset when you're looking at a 2 versus a 3. Like,
but the coin two flip. The two are the defending champions who were, except again, Jamal Murray is not super, but mostly healthy, correct, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, Jamal Murray's been, you know, the Porter family or the Porter siblings are doing their best to get in every sort of bit of legal trouble or idiotic gambling trouble that they can. Like, just the entire Porter family is trying to derail everything Michael Porter Jr. is doing.
Oh, boy. Clarification, Jamal Murray diagnosed with a calf strain is officially questionable for Game 5, which we should find out about pretty soon because that game's happening tonight. But like, calf issues are not great. You know who else has a calf issue right now? Giannis Antetokounmpo. And like, those don't really go away. Like I don't know. Like, that's the one thing where it's like you're looking at the second round series between the Nuggets and the Wolves. Like, if Jamal Murray's not healthy, Wolves have a chance. I don't know.
I don't think they have a chance. I'll pick them right now to come out of that series.
Who?
In 6 games.
Wolves? Okay. All right.
I'll pick them to dethrone the champs and give me a conference finals. Most likely, if I had to pick, we're going to get Thunder and T-Wolves, and West Coast media will just absolutely implode, but
I'm picking Nuggets in 6. I'm assuming Murray will be healthy, but because I don't think, even with him being on the injury report, I think you have to assume health until proven otherwise. Thunder, look, man, I've been doing quite a bit of criticism of one Christian James McCollum, your son's favorite player, former Blazer, wine estate owner, NBA president guy, like, what is he? He's the president, right? Of the Players Association.
Correct.
But like, CJ, you know, Cassie had a lot of nice things to say about him on the previous episode. He's coming up small, man. I'm sorry. Like, I'm saying it right to your face. There have been, I've gotten some pushback. This is a deep Twitter cut. I've gotten some pushback from my criticism of CJ. He's been coming up small. I mean, I know that Zion's out. I know CJ's not meant to be a first option. I know Brandon Ingram's not been particularly good himself, but his team really needs him, and he is not been great. So, like, but anyway.
Are you shocked by this?
No, that's not at all.
It's kind of par for the course,
except for Game 7 against the Nuggets.
He has one shining moment, but he also has Lehigh, so never mind.
He has one playoff series in his career where he's shot over 50%. I'm not saying you need to shoot 50% always.
One game where he carried a team.
So I'm not surprised. I really like the Thunder a lot. I really like Chet Holmgren a lot. His awful commercial aside, don't Google it. It's bad. But like,
wait, are you talking to him and SGA?
Yeah. No one likes that commercial.
I love that commercial.
Ouch.
That commercial is hilarious.
Ooh, that's gonna hurt. You are on the opposite end of most people's opinions, my friend.
Welcome to my life.
How does it feel to be an outcast?
Well, I live in the danger zone over here, just disagreeing with everybody's takes. So.
I, I love the Thunder. I love Chet Holmgren. I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't love Josh Giddey. Actually, Josh Giddey, please go away forever. Don't love him. But like, whoa. Okay, I'm editing that all the way out. Or perhaps leaving it in. You're the one who said it. That's dark and terrible. And I'm going to have to bleep it. People are going to have to wonder what you just said. Remind me to bleep that out. We're not keeping that in. No. But like, okay, listen. That's why we have the power of editing. I love that Thunder team. I love Chet Holmgren. I think Chet Holmgren, if it weren't for Victor Wembanyama, would be like, this dude's going to be an MVP someday. A lot of people are like, oh, he's a great second option. Like I said, coming into the draft, this dude is going to be like an all NBA player. He looks like it. He's ahead of schedule. He's contributing to winning basketball. Both the eye test and the counting stats support it. So Thunder probably going to sweep that series. Who do you have coming out?
Do you think that Chet is benefiting at all from kind of a flying under the radar lack of expectations? Like, you know, he sat out his quote unquote rookie year for injury. And then now this year is his first actual playing year. And it just so happens it's the first year of having Wembanyama. I think Victor Wembanyama kind of taking a lot of that spotlight from him. I know this is out of left field, out on a limb kind of take here, but I don't think there were as many or as much expectations put on Chet. And I feel as though that kind of helped him to thrive. Where he's not like the centerpiece of that, like, Slenderman style basketball conversation.
I don't know if I agree. It's not even that I disagree. I just don't know if it matters. Like the Thunder are, you know, so much better than people thought they would be earlier than we thought they'd be. By the way, my hot take
them as a measuring stick for the Blazers, please.
Because the Thunder hot take, Thunder are going to be like second round or better for like the next decade straight. The assets that they have is absolutely unfathomable. They are going to be able to restock on reasonable contracts over and over again. They have drafted well, mostly. They're going to be able to trade for pieces if they want to. Like, it is disgusting
how well set up is loaded.
It is the Blazers. You cannot. I've heard that comparison too. Oh, the Blazers could follow the Thunder. No, they can't. Are they going to pull 10 first round picks and like 10 swaps out of their ass? I don't think so. So like,
and still anyway, have seven left.
It's really grand and have a number one seeded team who's about to sweep in the first round. All of that, like, it's just disgusting. Like, the Blazers are nowhere near the Thunder level. Like, sorry. Like, and I don't like, I'm not even like I'm not like a Sam Presti truther, but you can't deny that he's done a good job. He's done a good job with multiple iterations of this team. So I'm curious though, like, Clippers, Mavericks tied 2-2. The Clippers seem
for the meteor.
The Clippers seem to be playing better when Kawhi Leonard doesn't play. You have James Harden after taking a grand total of 11 floaters the entire year, I think took 6 or 7 floaters in the fourth quarter alone of the last game.
With one of the most heads up basketball plays I have seen in a while. And that was after he makes a free throw near the end of the game, they're out of timeouts. And he knocks the ball out of his own teammate's hand so that the ref has to go get it. He told his guy, like, no, don't take that ball. And it gave his team the like 15 seconds to go and make sure that they were all set up down on the other side of the court. Brilliant. That's the kind of like basketball IQ thing that when we all talk about, like, does he understand the game kind of thing? Like, that's the stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. Like, understanding, like, we have no timeouts.
Number
we
need to get down and make sure that we get set.
Knock the ball out of your teammate's hand so that the ref has to go get it. Because by the rules, the ref has to be the one to hand the ball.
I mean, so they could have the maybe called an unsportsman technical if they really wanted to, but they're not going to do that.
Exactly.
I mean, do you have an opinion, you know, Clippers or Mavericks? Who do you have coming out? Yeah. I picked the Clippers.
Can I make my decision based off which owner I like more?
Yeah, I don't care.
Cause I don't like Luka. I disdain Kyrie. The Kawhi stuff has been nauseating, and I totally, and Harden's diva mentality. Like, I do not like either one of these teams.
Yeah, I get it.
I think technically I got to go with the Mavericks because as for as coked out of his mind as Steve Ballmer seems at all times, I love Mark Cuban a hell of a lot more.
Mark Cuban's not even majority owner anymore. He has like controlling interest. There's something weird going on that he's controlling the basketball, but not an owner. The problem is that Luka is not healthy, right? And unfortunately, so much of this playoffs has been about players being healthy, not healthy. In this series alone, we're talking about Kawhi, we're talking about Luka, and we're talking about in the previous series, talking about with Thunder, Pelicans, talk about Zion Williamson not being healthy. And anyway, it's a bummer. Jamal Murray with the Nuggets. But speaking of injuries, I'm not going to do too much East Coast stuff because there's
no amount of money anybody could pay me still to watch Cavs Magic.
Except a quick, I hope the Heat go away quickly and that their fans just fade quickly. We do have
Florida
to talk
will
injuries.
Fall into the ocean eventually. It's fine.
By the way, really quickly, and I should be prepared for this, and I'm not, as I'm going to quickly just kind of as I'm stalling for time, but
I have
Heat reporter
information.
Well, I wanted to quickly throw some shade. Heat reporter Barry Jackson.
Oh, my God. Him again? This is
taking to Twitter.
Out. This is not me. This is not me. I have nothing to do with this. Don't come at me.
I celebrating Damian Lillard being injured and kind of being like a ha ha, like if only he'd come to the Heat. I mean, he didn't quite say that, but it's like this dude reported himself that the Heat were not willing to give up the non Bam Adebayo pieces it would have taken to get Damian Lillard. Anyway, but I did want to talk about injuries.
Achilles famously not get strained in Miami. Is that like,
I guess not. I guess they just replace. They replace your Achilles with the fibrous tuft of a palm tree and it never breaks. But we do have to talk about the Bucks really quickly. My friend, your friend, everyone's friend, Damian Lillard has been out. He got hurt at the end of Game 3. It sucks. They're now down 3-1. Giannis has been out. And I just have to say, I was totally convinced that if they could just get to the playoffs and Dame and Giannis would just magic, not Orlando magic, but just like fairy dust. And they're just playing. They're playing really well. All of a sudden is what I thought was going to happen. Then Giannis got hurt. Then I was like, okay, no problem. Damian Lillard, he knows how to put a team on his back. He basically did in Game 1. He almost was able to do it again in Game 2. They probably should have won Game 2. They probably even should have won Game 3. And yet they're down 3-1 to the Pacers in what now has become the most uninteresting. Dude, I watched the last game. Bucks, who, by the way, Bobby Portis getting ejected 4 minutes into the game when the Bucks desperately need him. Bro, you cannot do that. But the most boring and uninteresting game, because I'm sorry, I know Tyrese Halliburton's cool, but Bucks with no stars and then versus the Pacers, blah. Nobody wants to watch that. So
no,
that's unfortunate. You said you had a hot take about this, though.
I do.
What's your hot take?
Is it wrong? Is it wrong that greener pastures not being greener makes me
happy? It's wrong because it's injury related. And it's also wrong because
it's not easier.
I mean, the Bucks, the Bucks hired the wrong coach at the beginning of the year and then they replaced
twice.
Him.
They've done it twice
with another wrong
in the
coach
same season.
And that's really impressive. And I'm surprised they were able to pull that one off.
What's going to fix the team to make sure we perform well in the playoffs? Doc Rivers, famously successful playoff coach.
I honestly don't understand how he got another job, but he did. And he, is more than willing to throw everyone
into the
bus.
He was the most qualified consultant they had sitting anywhere near a coach's chair. And they're just like, everyone knows your name.
Good.
No respect to you. Go.
Never good when you're consulting the coach who gets fired, then you replace the coach. It's just this Game of Thrones shit. It's so weird. Anyway, I feel bad for Dame because I mean, he has shown he can still put a team on his back. His ability to do that will not remain
forever.
But he went
there to not have to do that.
but
he wanted to move it, to not have to do that.
To do it in a moment where his, you know, the best player on the team was injured is great. And that's part of the reason why you do bring in Dame, is he can do that if needed. But like, okay, hopefully next year, as you talked about the Minnesota Timberwolves, what do they do last year? Trade for Rudy Gobert. Didn't go so well. By the way, Rudy Gobert was like dealing with a knee issue that we didn't really know about until later. What happens now after a year of being able to work with each other? Minnesota Timberwolves look way better. So like,
I'm not writing off the Bucks, and part of me does wonder, I mean, I massive respect and massive love for Damian Lamont, Ollie Lillard, and especially, you know, all the basketball memories he's brought me. I am curious if there is an aspect of that he thought that this would be easier over there, and there's a little bit of a lag. I don't necessarily want to say in lack of preparation, because I feel as though that's not fair to say about professional athletes, but I can't think of a better descriptor, you know, for going over there and getting ready for the season and it turning out to still kind of be a grind, and maybe more than he was necessarily expecting, you know, a lot of that due to all the injuries that the Bucks have had to deal with throughout this entire season. And so, yes, I do have high hopes for them next year. And I do feel bad that Dame kind of had to find this out the hard way, but I'm not going to lie and say that I don't feel a little bit of vindication to be like, see, it wasn't just here.
Okay. I understand.
A lot to unpack there.
I understand what you're saying. I don't think
God, you're parenting me.
No, I understand. I'm validating. And also, I just don't think that's fair when it's not like only a team construction issue that the Bucks, like to your point, Chris Middleton only played 50 some odd games. He's been, you know, not his best self for years, where Brooke Lopez is now 36 years old, where the coach that they had,
say that with such a negative connotation for our sakes, please.
As someone turning 40, I'm allowed to say it, but like, it's just, it's like, so, and also that Damian Lillard is a human who was going through some human stuff. It's, I can't say like, you know, that haha, Damian Lillard, you went to what you thought was going to be better and ended up not being any better than Portland. Like, I just, it doesn't feel
I'm
right.
I'm not saying haha. I'm not doing it in a demeaning tone.
You're saying teehee.
Slightly. It's a tiny teehee. It's a tiny teehee and under
you
my breath.
You said teehee. Yeah. It felt like a teehee to me. And I can't go there because of the extenuating circumstances. Also, that if you ran the simulation, you know, 100 times with the Bucks, like before they hired Adrian Griffin. Okay. And so part of the variable is like, you didn't have to hire that guy. And you do bring in Terry Stotts as your assistant under whoever else you hire. And you don't fire that coach midseason, right? Mm-hmm. Where would they be? Because they were doing fine in the standings under a coach who was bad enough to lose the locker room immediately and get fired. And like, so maybe in that universe, you could have absorbed Chris Middleton getting hurt. You could have absorbed some regression from Brooke Lopez. You could have absorbed the fact that Danilo Gallinari looks like a statue. The fact that he was playing that last game was terrifying, by the way, terrifying. And maybe you could have absorbed that Damian Lillard was not feeling his best because he's a human going through human stuff. And maybe the Bucks get a slightly better seed coming to the playoffs. Like, so I don't know, man, like it's just, I can't go there, but like, I do, but I understand what you're saying. I think how I would frame it, nothing in competitive sports is guaranteed. The best thing that you can do is increase the likelihood that something good happens. And no matter how many superstars you throw together, there's no guarantee that you're not going to get swept out of the playoffs by a team that has had no historical playoff success. Haha, Suns, goodbye. By the way, like, anyway, so that's all. Like,
Do you want to, before we switch topics, do you want to loop back and laugh at the Suns a little bit? Just a little
bit. Let's do it, because I feel so much cleaner laughing at the Suns. No one's hurt. You just got Bradley Beal on a no trade and $53 million for two more years. You thought that Yusuf Nurkic was going to be better than DeAndre Ayton, did you? You thought that Devin Booker, KD, and Beal were going to get you a championship. But let me tell you something, Matt Ishbia. Now I'm going W. Let me tell you something. Like, it ain't that easy. And like, how do the Suns don't have any picks for the next 75 years? They don't even have a second rounder. They got
no. And then nothing. And then it comes out today that it's like, I always love the postmortems. I love the postmortems on the super teams. They're fantastic. You know that
people are just talking.
It comes out today from a Sun source that Matt Ishbia has no idea what he's doing when it comes to basketball. It's all his fault. It's Looney Tunes Vogel's fault. Yep. It's Looney Tunes around here. It felt unstable since Ishbia arrived. He's a good guy and everything, but he's just very involved, too involved. I know he played college basketball at Michigan State, but I'd venture to say he has no idea what he's doing when it comes to basketball, yet he's making a lot of big decisions. Well, here's breaking news. Billionaires who buy shiny new sports franchises like to come in with big swinging dick energy and make a lot of choices with their shiny new billion-dollar toy. It's going to happen. And in this case, it happening with having Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant and like trying to assemble their own little super team so that he can have every major contract under the sun, no picks, and be in salary cap hell for the foreseeable future. Fantastic. Fantastic. And for KD to be a part of this could not have happened to a better guy. I'm sure he will take all the criticism that he sees coming his way online to heart, and he will not lash out on any of his 97 burner accounts.
I actually want to say, you know, a credit to how KD has handled specifically the ascension of Anthony Edwards thing. Anthony Edwards talking shit. Anthony Edwards.
Oh, that was great. Instant meme. Instant
totally.
Meme.
And like, and what did we see at the end of that, you know, that game four where Suns got swept, is that Anthony Edwards, KD giving each other like the biggest, most aggressive, most genuine looking hug you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I think KD saying something like, you know, he has the right to talk shit. He won. So credit mm-hmm. to KD for that. Like, and actually
I
like,
love that old school mentality of sportsmen. And I think a lot of that is missing in some of the younger generations coming up. So I'm very glad to see it in Anthony Edwards, you know, but where it is that, you know,
like you talk your shit.
Don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect me. Do you know what I've done in my career? Okay. I know what you've done in your career, but I also just personally humbled you and, right. and sent you home early. So I'm going to, you know, so I love that in sports right now.
Yeah,
when that does happen, it's great.
I agree. I think that there's something between like, I absolutely hate you and like, I am your best friend always, where it's like, I love it. It's like on the court, you're talking shit. You're doing the, you know, the sign or, you know, whatever it is, the thing you're dunking on people. And then you say like, he's my hero. KD is someone who I modeled my game after. He's someone who I respect, and he knows that. Like, I'm with you. I like that stuff. Yeah. Is there any other playoff, anything you want to touch on? I'm feeling pretty good.
I think I'm good playoff wise. So, and I had
about with anything else. We've been on for 30 minutes.
I was going to say, I got a whole second topic. I was assuming the playoff stuff, this is going to be a quick 10 minute breeze, but you know, we had some opinions.
Remind me what the second topic was.
So, I mean, the Blazers TV deal is back in the news. Partly inspired by the Seattle Kraken leaving Roots, leaving Roots.
We're like,
kudos to the Kraken. Like they're going the way that I feel most sports will end up going, where it is not like one umbrella deal, but where you reach these smaller individual deals. So like, for those that don't know, Kraken's leaving Root. Kong is the one of the main primary channels up in Seattle. KGW, they're their affiliate down here in Portland. So they're leaving to have their games on those two over-the-air stations and Amazon Prime. So between a streaming platform and a cable service, you'll have access to the entirety of their games, which I think is fantastic. And I think that's what we're going to start seeing more of. I know right now, like NBC is in the bidding wars to try to get back into the NBA sphere. You know, everyone keeps saying, oh, don't take Chuck away from us. Trust me. I think NBC would probably gladly pay the entire NBA on TNT crew to come over and work for them, but for $2.5 billion. But all of these kind of things are hodgepodges. It's not just you're centrally locating the entirety of your team's games in one area. And the Blazers can kind of take note from that. You know, they've flirted around with the CW. They've flirted around with Fox. And by the way, just a quick aside, and I know we in some way, shape, or form attempt to keep these things out of our podcast, but those that are bemoaning the idea that the Blazers should go to Channel 12 Fox here in our local market, out of some sort of political hatred for the Fox name in general, just stop.
Local affiliates of Fox is not Fox News. I mean, so correct.
Let's disassociate those names just a little bit. So
I would say as a consumer, I want something that I can stream and DVR, not just right. So like, which I know they're looking at.
But that's why I think like the mix is there's a mix here. Where it's going to be good.
And I know that you already said this, but just reiterating that like the NBA league wide deal, it seemed that, you know, the Amazon Prime seems to be close, at least close enough to report that the deal has been structured. You know, how do they handle those local affiliates like the Bally Sports, the Root Sports, is the league wide deal going to give the Blazers either any legal opportunity? Probably not. Or like, more of a political opportunity to rejigger their current deal with Root or renegotiate or back all the way out of it. Like, do you think that the league reaching and getting these details about the league wide stuff, do you think that this is going to impact our ability as Blazers fans to watch games next year?
Impact, no. Have an influence to some degree, yes, / I hope. So the league-wide deal that they're looking at is just for a restructuring of their already nationally televised games package. So it's not like any sort of replacement for like League Pass or anything like that. You know, it's just take all these nationally broadcast games that we already have, and they're just shuffling them around to these different networks. One of the things that I would hope that the league is maybe looking at doing with seeing the death of these regional sports networks is that, you know, maybe if you shave a little off the top where it's not as expensive for Amazon Prime to, you know, get these packages per se, if they'll work and give a little more favorable terms to their individual teams. Like, I'm not going to hate if, you know, let's just say out of an 82 game season, if 60 games are on KGW locally and all 82 are on Amazon Prime, you know, and the Blazers can take a little bit less on an Amazon Prime deal or significantly less on an Amazon Prime deal because there's, you know, other revenue being shuffled and moved around for them on that league-wide deal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how, I guess I'm still confused how, if you're in market, how that impacts your ability to watch Blazers games. Like because again, for me,
I'm saying no, there's no blackout rule. So like, okay, let's just say this. So like Amazon Prime is going to carry in this scenario, they're going to carry nationally televised games, but no matter what, they will also then carry basically every regular Trailblazers season game. Like there's not going to be like a blackout restriction.
Do you think that's realistic? I guess is what I'm asking.
I do. And one of the things that confuses me is the pushback that you hear about, like, oh, what, you know, they need to make it more accessible. But then, like, for one, this Root Sports thing, when they signed it, technically was accessible, but then it just became so hard for everybody to get. This, it, no matter what,
the famous quotes about, like, it's reaching more households. It's
yes, yeah, more households did have the possibility to spend more money on Root. I think sports are smart to take advantage of the streaming services that people typically already have in their homes. Get on those. Get on the Amazon Prime. You know, right now, hell, even I'm watching this TNT game through my Max app, because Max carries all Turner Broadcasting. You know, during the March Madness, I could log on to Paramount Plus, and that was every game that was on CBS or anything of the CBS not on the Turner platform, I could watch every single game there. It's smart for sports to get into these platforms that already are in people's homes and not charge them a premium to access them. And then for everybody else who doesn't, you know, for lack of a better term, for the olds, you know, to be on a basic cable such as KGW or Kong, or, you know, if they end up on CW or Fox, wherever. But to be in those basic cable.
Kong? Is that a real thing?
Yes. Yes. So if you have not ever noticed in your life, there are the two primary news stations in Seattle is King and Kong.
No fucking way.
Yes, because it's King. I think it's King 5 and
in it's Portland, King 5 it's Spider and Kong 6. And
No.
That's ridiculous.
Legit. Yes, it is King 5 News up in Seattle, and I believe Kong is Channel 6. But it's King 5 and Kong 6. Those are their two primary news channels up there.
The are King makes sense because of King County. That makes sense. The Kong sounds completely made up, but sure. I don't know. That's weird. So all to say, stuff might be changing. I will say, you know, this is the first year that I have legal access. I've always had legal access, Ryan, but like, I'm like,
that's paying. Fine. I use every website under the sun. I got no qualms about it.
I've been paying to make sure I can access the game. Yeah. So,
providing the stream. I am just using the provided stream.
At any rate, like
it's over there, you know, to the east,
it's all in the ether, but like, short story, you know, the media landscape is changing. I reckon that the media landscape changing at the NBA national level will put, at a minimum, some positive political pressure on the Blazers to do something, even if it doesn't actually give them the legal ability to change anything right now, because the way it is right now to watch Blazers games is not tenable. You know, every bit of kind of sideways reporting we've heard has suggested that the Blazers would like to make it better. So let's hope that this ushers in a new era of people being able to pay a reasonable fee to watch the games they want to watch.
Yeah. Without having to pay a cable.
A reasonable fee. That's what I'm saying. Yes. Is like when I go to the store, I want to buy jar of peanut butter. Doesn't make sense if I have to then buy a bungee corded package to put into my cart that has the peanut butter, and it also has hot dog buns, and it has olives, and it has salami and eggs and a banana and a crouton. Like, that doesn't make sense. I just want the peanut butter, Ryan. Blazers games are peanut butter, and I am a hungry toddler wanting that spoonful of peanut butter in my mouth. Blazers make it happen.
Well, on that awkward analogy, I think we can wrap that up.
If you want to reach out to us and talk about peanut butter or basketball, you can always do that at welikettheblazers.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @likettheblazers, or find Ryan at @thewittyRyan, or me at @goldnerpdx. That's going to be all for right now. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for listening. And until by the way, proudly part of the Rogue Media Network, part of the Blazers Edge family of podcasts, which includes Trail Daddy and Rip City Roundtable. Please go check those out. But we appreciate all of you. Thank you for listening. And until next time, thank you and go Blazers.
So are you a GIF guy or...
It's pronounced GIF. Go Blazers.